Good morning again, everyone. My name is still Joanne, and I'm still an alcoholic. I'd love to welcome everyone to this AA Around the World meeting. Would you like to help me open this meeting with a moment of silence, please? Thank you. And knowing that that moment of silence is looking back in 75 years of Alcoholics Anonymous, aren't we all just privileged and honored to be here? Thank you. And I just thought that we would open this meeting with the AA preamble, and I'd like to ask this gentleman, Mike, right here, if you'd like to please come up and read the preamble for us.
Morning, my name is Mike. I'm an alcoholic. I'm from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. I attend the AA Men's Recovery Group. Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. It does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
There may be some here who are not familiar with our tradition of personal anonymity at the public level. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. Thus, we respectfully ask that AA speakers and AA members not be photographed, videotaped, or identified by full name on audio tapes and in published or broadcast reports at our meetings, including those reports on the Internet. The assurance of anonymity is essential in our efforts to help other problem drinkers who may wish to share our recovery program with us. And our tradition of anonymity reminds us that AA principles come before AA personalities. A further note about anonymity. Out of respect for others, please do not take photographs during any of the meetings at the International Convention. Also, be considerate when taking photographs around the convention venues. Take care that you do not capture images of AA members, family members, and friends who did not give permission and may not wish to appear in your pictures. Please do not post recognizable photos of identifiable AA members on websites accessible to the public, including unrestricted pages on social networking sites. We thank you beforehand for all this consideration. Now, the recordings of this meeting will be available at the recording sales booth in Hall B at the Convention Center. And now we can get started. Woo! I didn't tell you that I came to AA and I live in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. My home group is the St. Patel group, and that is the first place where I heard the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. And while I was in that group, I never even realized how big AA was. And as I got involved in service and realized that the walls of my group, behind those walls, AA was around the world. And God has blessed me on many occasions, and now I serve Alcoholics Anonymous on the General Service Board as a trustee at large Canada. And that job gives me the opportunity to be a World Service Meeting delegate. And I have been in many places and listening to the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I find it very amazing that during that time, I have met so many people from different parts of the world. Now, I was thinking here this week before we came to San Antonio that on the board and on the committees that we serve on, we were thinking about how hot it was going to be in San Antonio. Not just hot, you know, hot like in, you're hot, but hot in the way that we were hot in the way that, you know, we were worried about people getting overheated, and then the rain started falling down. And I was at a World Service meeting breakfast this morning, and someone reminded me that the rain really meant something else, that God was showering us with blessings with this rain. So let's think about that. And I don't know about you, when I was drinking, when I looked outside and it was raining, I didn't say, oh, I guess I can't drink today. So what I'd like to do now, I've sort of shuffled these names around, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to call three names, and I would like those three people to please come up and sit on the stage so that we can carry on with the meeting. The first name I'm going to call up is a fellow named Babylon from South Africa. The second name I'm going to call up is a lady named Leslie from England. And the third name I'm going to call up is Ben from South Africa. Thank you. Now, with no further ado from me, I really would like to welcome Babylon. Let's give him a warm San Antonio, U.S., Canada.
The stars belong to the sky. The leaves belong to the tree. And the grape belong to the vine. And I belong to AA. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? My name is Babylon. I'm an alcoholic. And a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and they allow me to attend the meeting in the Soweto group of Alcoholics Anonymous in Johannesburg. And thank you for inviting me here. Colleagues, I've not planned my talk, and then I was told in Alcoholics Anonymous that a message from the heart has 99 1/3% of reaching another heart. I'm the fourth, my sobriety date is the 30th of December, 1977. For that, I'm eternally grateful. For that, I am eternally grateful. I am the fourth son in the family of 14. And then I came to Alcoholics Anonymous because of desperation. I did not have the past. I did not have the present. I did not have the future. My life was enveloped by pain and fear. And if at all I did not find the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous, I would have evaporated in the streets of Soweto in Johannesburg. And then, as fate could have it, I was a thief. And then through the very same talent that I thought I had of stealing from people, I stole from one guy, I stole an envelope that contains the AA literature. And that's why I'm here. And then who says crime doesn't pay? But watch this, it pays sometimes. It paid in my life. From there, colleagues, I have never looked back. I came into AA, they enveloped me with warmth, with love. And then from there, my life took a 180-degree turn. For that, I am eternally grateful. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Babylon. Our next speaker is Leslie from England.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. My name's Leslie, and I'm an alcoholic. And this is awesome. And I'm going to cry, and I don't do that. And I'm English. I live on the northeast coast of England in a small town called Redcar, and my home is 5 minutes walk from the sea. And I actually have two home groups. I never did do anything in moderation. One is the Living Sober group in Redcar, and the other is the New Beginning group in Coby Newham in Middlesbrough. And that's not where I got sober. I was in the Middle East when I hit bottom, in a place called Abu Dhabi. I went there in 1975 with the husband I had at the time. He was a Scot. I met him in a bar. I wouldn't have met him anywhere else. He was exciting. He drank the way I like to drink, and he partied the way I like to party, and I thought, I'll have you. And he had money as well. At that time, I helped him to spend it. And we got married 6 months later. And we had two children, and we went to the Middle East in 1975, and I was there for 10 years. And don't let anybody tell you that the Middle East is dry. It's not. It's very, very wet. Otherwise, I would never have gone there. And I drank out there for 8 years. I was in expat land, and it was crazy. And needless to say, I ended up in that place that they talked about in the big book, where to continue drinking was unthinkable and to stop drinking was terrifying. You know, alcohol had me absolutely and totally beaten. And I don't have time to tell you, but the miracle of my story was I was in a big city in the Middle East, and I didn't need to find AA found me. And I walked into my first meeting, well, I crawled into my first meeting on about April the 12th, 1983. My sobriety date is April the 10th. And it was a very small meeting. Well, look at this. I think, wow. There's about six or eight guys there and me. I was the only female for about 2 years. I was their first female success. But that group did its job, and it did its job well, because it gave me the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. They didn't say to me, just don't drink and you'll be fine, or just come to meetings and you'll be fine, like I hear in some of the meetings that I've been to around the world. What they said to me was, if you want to stop drinking, let you need to change. And the way to do that is through a 12-step program. And that made sense to me, because I knew me and just not drinking wouldn't work. You know, alcohol for me was the fear killer. And me without booze, I was just a ball of fear in a ball of jelly. The only way I can control my fear today is with a 12-step program. And you can't see him, but God is with me now. Because when I was asked to come up here, well, I won't tell you what I thought, because I don't swear on a podium. But, and I just asked God to give me the words to carry the message to you. You know, I came back to UK when I was 2 years sober. I've never taken another drink since I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. The deal I made with God, and I didn't know that at the time because I was an agnostic, and me and God just didn't gel. Well, I didn't gel with God, but God's always looked after me. As I work a 12-step program, I go to meetings, I pass this message on, I have a sponsor, I have God in my life, and in return, he keeps that terrible mental obsession that I had to drink, because it was taken away from me, 3 days away from me. After my first meeting, I've never, ever had that. And that's the deal, and that's the deal I still have today, day to time. And it's just wonderful being up here, and it's a real privilege to be of service today in Alcoholics Anonymous. And thank you all for keeping me sober. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Our next speaker, please help me welcome Ben from Durban.
I'm not the man I like to be. I'm not the man I hope to be. But thank God and thank Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm not the man that I used to be. My name is Ben Pillay. I'm a recovering alcoholic. Can you feel it? Yes. Yeah. My sobriety date is 8th of April 1986. My membership of Alcoholics Anonymous started on the 16th of September 1983. I belong to a group which meets in a matter of half an hour from now. It's called the Unit 6 Group in Chatsworth. I attend that meeting in terms of my legacy of traditions. In terms of my legacy of recovery, I attend the Avon workshop which meets on a Sunday evening. And in terms of my service, I serve the KwaZulu-Natal area in Durban, KwaZulu-Natal area in South Africa, on the committee known as FOCUS, who specializes in special projects. We're currently looking at various projects that are looking into different areas of the previously disadvantaged areas. On page 77, you tell me that I have a real purpose in Alcoholics Anonymous. When I came into Alcoholics Anonymous in 1983, I came with one specific issue, and the issue was that my powerlessness of alcohol. Having been admitted for the 17th time in an hospital in the area that I live in, the doctor then made a final diagnosis and said, listen here, I think you have a problem with alcohol. And fortunately for me, I was not in denial, and I said, yes, doctor, I do have a problem with alcohol, but I need a way out. And this is when I was introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous. So on that day when I entered my first meeting after my hospitalization on the 16th of September, on the 20th of September, I came here with one reason, and that is to get this monkey off my back. I was seeking for a way out of alcohol. And when I entered this meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, you guys drowned me with this love. The tsunami that I'm feeling here over these last 2 days, the tsunami of Alcoholics Anonymous love is just incredible. The love is infectious, and it's the same love that I experienced on the 20th of September, 1983. And then you told me at this meeting that I have a primary purpose, and that's to stay sober and stopping alcoholics. The big ego that I had, I refused to get into the program of recovery. I refused to engage the services of a sponsor, but I was trying to do service in Alcoholics Anonymous by trying to spread the message. The end result was zero. I relapsed, fortunately for me, over a weekend in 86, and I got back into Alcoholics Anonymous as soon as possible. And then, page 77 of the big book was introduced to me to find out what is my real purpose in Alcoholics Anonymous. And you tell me to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and the people about me. And this began this new and beautiful journey in recovery done one day at a time. Now I got more focus in getting involved in the program of recovery, got myself introduced to a recovery group to start working on a program of recovery one day at a time. And then you tell me that you're going to give me a lot of promises in Alcoholics Anonymous. In a 12th promise, you tell me that I'm going to be guaranteed of a spiritual awakening. And once I had this awakening, this transformation, this altered attitude, this new personality, that profound personality change will demand of me to be able to do service to God and the people about me. And in this journey, you have allowed me this wonderful opportunity of having this connection with the God of my understanding. You allow me now to take God into my life, where you tell me, meetings after meetings, that the darkest hour is 60 minutes. It must and it will pass. No matter how big my problem is, the problem in front of me cannot be greater than the power behind me. In step two, you introduce me to a power greater than myself. You ask me to start a relationship with the God of my understanding so that I can walk this journey, and then you promise me a place on the spiritual highway where I can walk hand in hand with the God of my understanding. And then when I start meeting you people and embracing you and hugging you and kissing you, I can feel God's presence amongst the people of Alcoholics Anonymous. So once I start creating this relationship with the God of my understanding, on a daily basis you allow me to come to these meetings to share God's love, so that I can come here, bring in my cross, and lay down my cross at your feet of the members of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm guaranteed, as page 45 of the big book says, that God will solve my problem, and He will solve it through you wonderful people. You will never allow me to drown and go into self-pity mode, because I'm a part of this wonderful family of Alcoholics Anonymous. And for this, I'm ever, forever grateful. The question that I'm asked at every corridor convention here. Why are you leaving the World Cup in South Africa and you're coming to this international convention? But the point is, my friend, this is a greater World Cup than the World Cup that's happening in South Africa. And that is... There is nothing in this lifetime that will take me away from my international convention. Not even the biggest of events in South Africa. Because I believe this is my greatest family, where I am wanted, needed, and loved. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Next, I would like to call up Helena from Finland, Raul from India, and Peter from New Zealand. Can they please come forward? Last year I was in Johannesburg, and while I was there, they were still finishing off the finishing touches for the World Soccer Stadium, and then we flew to Durban the next day to see their soccer stadium, and I met Ben at an area meeting there at their office. And, you know, it's amazing how Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, we think that we live in an area where we have so many groups in our cities, there are so many groups and districts in our area, but the world is divided into zones. And the South African zone is part of the Sub-Saharan zone, English-speaking Africa. Okay, Helena from Finland, please join us.
Hello, my name is Helena and I'm an alcoholic. Are there any from Finland? This came so suddenly that I don't know what I'm going to talk about. But 2005, I was in Toronto, and I came alone. And I felt myself isolated, and I was very afraid. And I wondered that what will be the situation this time, how I felt. And I have had a contact with the people. I have talked with them. And I feel better. So the program works. We had a big midsummer celebration last weekend in Finland. And you know how much the Finnish people, they drink a lot and they go to sauna. But I decided to stay at home. And I read a book about Path to Love. And the inspiration for that, what does it mean? I can ask myself, what is my relationship to myself and to God and to life? And I would like to change my attitude and give back that kind of passion to life. I have had a problem with my relationship with the people. I drank a lot because of the emotional pain. And I came to AA year 2000 in August. 23rd is my celebration for 10th year sobriety. And I thought this is the present to myself to come here, even if it's before my 10th year's anniversary. And I have been thinking about that I want to change my attitude because the new time is starting the 11th year, that I don't want to complain. I want to see the side of the positive sides of the thinking. I was this morning in this convention, the subject was the pain. I want to leave the pain here and continue to my life and without the pain and tell the stories about what has happened in my life and how it has changed. And bring love and joy and experience, strength and hope. And I would like to have addresses and contacts from the women here in convention, so I can get the idea and talk about, because we have many possibilities, it's Skype and internet and all this stuff. And I'm very happy to invite you to Finland and Helsinki. We have a spiritual sponsor group. It's once a week a meeting in English, and there is also other English-speaking groups. So if you come to Helsinki and Finland, please, we are happy to see you there. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the sober day.
Thank you, Helena. A few years ago, I was in Finland, in Tampere, Finland, and I attended their 60th anniversary of Alcoholics Anonymous. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you. And next we have Rahul from India.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Rahul, and I am an alcoholic. Entirely by the grace of God and the help of this wonderful fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, I am sober today. I have not taken a drink today, and I feel good. I have never been to such a big meeting. But I tell you what, it's great. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I remember my first meeting on 5th of June 2003. And I was beaten and broken and in pain. And God brought me to that meeting. And I realized for the first time in my life that I have a reason to live. And that was a great feeling. I did that meeting, and after that meeting, I haven't had a drink. You know, so many of my friends asked me, what happened to you in that meeting? I can't explain it. I think it's that thing they call spiritual in our fellowship. There was some connection. Anyways, I kept going back. I keep working with other alcoholics in India now. As you probably know, we are a country of 1.2 billion people. I'm just one guy here. But yes, it's good. We have about 800 groups, and we have about 35,000 sober alcoholics going through these groups, and we are getting there. One of the problems is that we have 16 languages, and we have translated the big book into 9 of those languages. Many years ago, So it's a job, and we are doing we were getting there, and it's, you know, all the help from the fellowship, from U.S., from New York, GSO. We have a GSO in Mumbai now. And it's a great, I feel it's my privilege, and it really helps me to keep sober, working with so many different kinds of people and so many different kinds of languages in India. I go to parts of India and I don't even know the language, but it's the language of the heart that matters. And I'm still able to get to them, and I'm still able to convey the message of Alcoholics Anonymous to them. And that's a great feeling. That's the true spirituality of Alcoholics Anonymous. You need only to be there. Come to a meeting, be there, and you'll get it. It's truly the language of the heart. I'm so happy to be here. It's my first international convention. And hey, it's great. I'm so privileged to make it so far here. And I thank you all for having me, and I thank you all for listening to me. Thanks.
Thank you, Raul. It just happened that a few years ago I attended a convention in Mangalore, India, and Raul says he met me there. And I have to say that, you know, when I traveled to India, we flew to Mumbai, and from Mumbai we went to a treatment center just outside of about 3 hours away from Mumbai, and they were opening a treatment center for women. I was very interested in going there. And after that, we did some public information work in Delhi. We flew to a place called Bangalore, and then we attended a meeting in Mangalore where there were, I would say, about 3,000 at that convention. It was a very wonderful convention, because I was thinking that, as Raul was speaking, India AA started on about May the 5th, 1957, I believe. And I thought when I was sitting there, I remember listening to one of the women speak. And she talked about, because of the language barriers in different areas, and I know that every country that doesn't speak English or that doesn't speak, you know, more than one dialect or whatever, that in India, this woman talked about going into a city and doing a play in the middle of the city square. And she said that maybe we couldn't speak the language, but we could act out and we could sing the part of the alcoholic or the addict. And it was really an amazing way to try and reach people that we can't reach because of language. I found it a very inspirational talk, and it brought back very many good memories. So thank you, Raul. Our next speaker, please welcome Peter from New Zealand.
Good morning. My name's Peter. I'm an alcoholic. My home group is Waikiki South, which meets in Christchurch, New Zealand, on a Sunday night at 7 o'clock. And you couldn't get much further from Waikiki than that. And a warm welcome to anyone who's down that way, and it's a group that we use the word enthusiasm as a lot. As our friends call us there, they call us the happy clappers. We clap everything that moves, we give everybody a job, and Christchurch is where I got sober, and I won't bore you with the story, but step one was the catalyst on it, and when I finally made contact with Alcoholics Anonymous, they said, see if you can identify and accept, and they brought an alcoholic around, and I did, and I still do, and he said, do you want to go to a meeting? I said, oh, I'm not that bad, but I'll ring you when I am. So about 4 hours later, I rung him, and he took me to a meeting, and we went into this meeting hall around the back of a church, typical AA, and there was a lot of laughter coming from the group there, and I thought, God's sake, what's going on here? And the chairman had been ripped off by another member of the group over a car, and they all thought it was hilarious, and there were men and women there, and I just knew the isolation was over, and I belonged. I don't know what it was about, really, but I just knew that I wanted what these people had and what you people have got. And at the end of the meeting, I asked the secretary, I said, what do I do? And I said, I want to join up. And he said, don't pick up the first drink. And I could have killed him, I could have cuddled him. You know, I loved, hated that first drink, and this goon's telling me not to pick it up. And I said, well, how am I going to do that? He said, well, you haven't had a drink for 24 hours, he said, by hanging around us. He said, so stay with us. Here's some phone numbers. Here's a meeting list. Do you know that they met every night of the week, that group, for 7 meetings a week? Whew. And that was 36 years ago. We now pride ourselves on having 62 meetings a week. Yeah, so I've been privileged to be part of that growth. So the growth for a small city of 350,000, and I've been part of it, and the example laid down by the old-timers, one comes to mind. I've just been to the correctional facilities workshop there, a guy called Serenity Dave. He didn't ask me if I wanted to go. He said, I'll pick you up Thursday night, we'll take you out to the prison. And I'd only been 2 weeks or so, and I said, well, you know, I suppose so, if that's what you do, and I want what you got. What a lovely nickname in AA, Serenity Dave. So that started a passion for me of service in that particular area, and a responsibility to service in other parts of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's just over the years, as the old timers passed away and then the new wave came through with the new people and the growth of the men, the women particularly, and then the younger people, it's just been a joy to be part of that, and for that I'm eternally grateful. And they, I love Dr. Paul's story of an alcoholic addict, and the prior, and he was down our way before he passed away, and he was the epitome of what I if only could have that lifestyle that he obviously showed, and him and Max, anyway, two Americans came through our town. And they started talking about the acceptance paragraph and quoting that acceptance paragraph from the third edition of the big book. But we're all pretty mean down there, and we're still on the second edition, so we hadn't. And it caused controversy. It's not in the big book. You can't. So we brought a third edition, and it was in the big book. And I became one of the great evangelists of the chapter on, or the paragraph on acceptance, and would bore the pants off anybody who wanted to listen to me. And an old timer said, Peter, very, very nice, but why don't you read the whole chapter? And of course, and it did, and it opened up, and I love, and I'm going to close on this, it was a couple of lines he has before the acceptance. He says, the people of AA had something that I didn't have, forget about it. But there was a certain sense of security in the familiar. I had that in my drinking days, the security of the familiar. I've got it now in my life in AA. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to these three speakers. Thank you very much. I see we have in the crowd, we have a contingency here from Japan. I'm just wondering if there's anyone here that's from Japan that can speak English. I know that in March, in Nagoya, Japan, you celebrated 35 years. So I would just like to, you can talk amongst yourselves, but send someone forward if you can. Right now, I would like to invite Reggie, who's originally from Sri Lanka. He tells me that he helped start AA in Sri Lanka. Reggie, and Mike from Afghanistan, please. We have Reggie first.
My name is Reggie, and I'm an alcoholic. 6 months ago in January, I celebrated 40 years of sobriety. by the grace of God and the program of AA. I was at the very first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous in Sri Lanka, in Colombo, in 1964. And I was drinking there, of course. And we drank what is called arak. Arak is made from the coconut tree. And I'll tell you, it is powerful. I suffered from the obsession that compelled me to drink. I would get up in the morning and ask myself, where will I drink today? Who will give me the money if I don't have to drink? What lies shall I say? To whom will I go? And I made my plan for the day. And right through the day, the thoughts of this plan would go through my mind. And in the evening, I would go and get drunk. And I got drunk daily for 5.5 years. I blacked out every night. I couldn't remember a thing, how I went to bed, what I did. That was the obsession. And then I wished, I knew that I couldn't sober up. I was going to meetings, but I couldn't sober. So I wished that something would happen to me that would make me bedridden, so that I will not be able to get up and go and buy that bottle. That was the only way I could see getting sober. At one time I wanted to commit suicide. And then a tremendous thought went through my mind. If I commit suicide, how can I drink? And I got hospitalized eventually. My liver enlarged and pushed my lung against my ribs. And I was given a bedpan, I was given the floor, and I was not allowed to get down. The man on my left was one of us, the man on my right was one of us. One morning I heard a woman crying and wailing. I moved the curtain and the man was dead. He had a bandage tied on his head with a knot and his two toes were tied. And the man on my left, I could see his stomach rising like a mountain, becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. And he was cirrhosed. And I was there for 3 weeks. The AA guys came and told me, Reggie, let this be your first and last visit to hospital. And I worked in the field of psychiatry. And my good buddy, a psychiatrist, came. He looked at the bedhead ticket. He looked at my wife, Joyce, and said, Joyce, at last you are going to be happy. Reggie won't be able to drink. And the chief doctor called me when I was getting discharged and he said, don't touch a drop. If you drink, you'll be dead. Did you hear that? I said, yes, doctor. And I was determined not to drink. I was reading the big book. I was praying to my higher power. A week after discharge, I attended the funeral on the man on the left. So the man on the right was gone, the man on the left was gone. And I was the one alive. 2 weeks later, I found myself with the bottle. And we talk in step two about insanity. I prefer to drink and die than live without the drink. And I was in my car all alone at night, driving from what we call the tavern, the Arak tavern. I turned the label and I began a conversation with the bottle. And I said, I am going to drink you down. I know I'll be dead tomorrow. I came home, locked myself in the room, prepared my bed, which I thought was my death bed, and proceeded to drink. And when I woke up in the morning and I saw daylight, I was surprised. And you know what went through my mind? That doctor is wrong. I can drink some more. And then, you know, people talk about a geographical escape. I am one of those people who succeeded in the geographical escape. One morning I went to work to this mental hospital I worked at. I came home and I told my wife, guess what? She said, what? I said, I have retired. I was 37 years old. And she said, from what? And I said, from my job. And I came to Canada. And in Canada, in Chatham, Ontario, I found this beautiful sponsor who showed me the way to sobriety. And in Chatham, Ontario, I started this journey. I say, thank God for AA and thank AA for God. I went to meetings daily. I went 3 on Sundays for 5 whole years. And when I was 7 years sober, I remember walking from my room along a corridor after I was preparing to give a talk somewhere. And suddenly a thought came to my mind. I don't need to drink. I don't have to drink. I don't want to drink. And I felt a tremendous high. And that high came from my gut level. And it was higher than the high I used to feel when I took a drink to affect my brain temporarily. That was the miracle of AA in my life. And you people gave it to me. And I like to thank God and I like to thank AA. And I like to end up by saying, I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Thank you.
Next, I'd like to introduce Mike, who's on leave from Afghanistan. Let's give Mike a warm welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Mike. I'm an alcoholic. I'd like to say thanks. If you see a lot of people from Texas leaving, it's because I was here last year, and those are my friends from Texas, and they still don't want to hear it. So I was in the back, and someone heard my accent, and they said, maybe you could come up and speak, and just tell them you're from the fourth dimension. My name is Mike, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm sober since March 9th of 09, because of God, the 12 steps, and sponsorship. So AA in Afghanistan, I told my friends in Texas, it's the greatest experience. I go to a meeting on Monday night, and it's me and my big book. I hear the best stuff. I have a sponsor who's been through the steps. He's taken me through the steps. I do the steps with these guys in Texas every month. I do it by email. And it's been the best experience for me. I did leave Afghanistan. I was there for a while, and I was going to the Monday night meeting, and just willing, like I was told to be willing. And I said, God, if it be your will, get me to a meeting. I ended up that week in Qatar in a medical unit, and I got off the plane, and they said, you need to go see the first sergeant so you can get your drinking privileges back. I said, I lost those privileges a long time ago. The woman told me, we have AA on Monday nights. So I was blessed there. I got to go to an AA meeting with other people. I got out of my own head, and they didn't do AA like they did in Afghanistan. And so from there, I was there for about 4 weeks, and I made my way back to Afghanistan, and let's see, back to the FARB, I'm on a forward operating base, and back to the steps through email with these men, and again, it's been the best experience. You know, I was here last year, and I got to go to my home group in Texas, is Rule 62. It meets on Thursday nights in Divine. My home group in Rhode Island is the steps we took. We meet on Tuesday nights. We do a tradition and a concept, and then we have a speaker. And then we meet on Wednesday nights, and we do it out of the big book. So in Rhode Island, we meet twice a week. We go for quantity, not quality. But again, blessed. Wherever I go, I've been blessed. And I just want to say, my name's Mike. I'm an alcoholic. Thanks for letting me share.
Last speaker, you know, it's really amazing. I was asking, he has an interpreter, and I says, can you please write down his name? I don't want to mess it up. And the name she wrote down was Bob. Well, it just so happens that I'm married to a Bob. And the other thing, before I fully introduce this, Bob, is that, you know, in the job that you've given me in Alcoholics Anonymous, I have the opportunity, you know, we think AA is 75 years old here in our structure. We're the only two-country structure in the world, the U.S. and Canada, and we should be proud of that, aren't we? And as our structure in Alcoholics Anonymous gets older in our countries, more and more people have never met our co-founders, Bill and Bob. You know, and it's really an amazing thing. Part of the job that I do is that I get to travel to countries where I meet the Bill and the Bob of those countries. So today we're having a special blessing. We're getting to meet and have the opportunity to welcome one of the co-founding members of Alcoholics Anonymous in Japan. Please welcome Bob.
Hello. My name is Bob. I'm an alcoholic. Tokyo, Japan. 僕は、1975年に A につながりました。
The first AA meetings that I hit was 1975.
それで、8月がちょうど35年のバースデーです。
So this coming August will be the 35th anniversary of a birthday for me.
Thank you. 日本の AA も日本語の AA は、3月がちょうど35年の記念集会でした。
Yeah, just like Barb said earlier, that Japan AA had just celebrated in March the 35th, you know, anniversary since the beginning of AA in Japan.
日本のグループが、僕は今大体ですけど、500ぐらいのグループが日本で、日本語でやってます。
Right now we have over 500 groups all over Japan in Japanese language though.
間違ってるからもしれません。
Maybe I'm wrong.
それでちょっと自分の話をちょっとさせてもらいます。僕は東京の下町で、浅草というところで生まれて、結構勉強が大嫌いで、キャバレーかボーイで働いていたんですよね。それでやっぱりキャバレーでね、店でも持っていいマスターになろうと思って、一生懸命働いてたんだけど、一生懸命飲むようになっちゃったんですね。
Well, since I was a little, I didn't like to study. I hated school and all that. So, first job I got is like a bartender in this bar place in downtown Tokyo. So, and then I wanted to be like a managing position, but before my aspiration, before I realized that I'm drinking heavily than anything else.
店の酒をどんどん飲んじゃってるもんだから、だんだん仕事にならなくなって、やはりそういう仕事も辞めざるを得なくなったんですね。
Yeah, it's free booze. What the hell? I mean, so, you know, before I quit, they fired me, so.
今だから分かったんだけど、やっぱりアルコール依存症で、コントロールが効かない?最初の一杯が入ったら、やはりお客さんの酒も飲んじゃうようなことがあったということはよくわかります。
So I didn't know then, but I know now that I didn't have any control over any first drink. And so the first drink, that's it. And then I was drinking my customers' drinks and, you know, everybody else's.
Yeah. だからそういう水商売がいけないのかと思ってやめたんですけど、まあ昼間の仕事入ったんだけど、もう依存症になってるから、やはりその仕事が続かなくなったりして、やはりどんどん自分の生活、家族を壊してきました。
So I thought maybe the place, the workplace is the wrong one, that I should be changing my job and...So I did, but realized that my, you know, progressive disease, that is, that I was getting really sick and I couldn't last any other place either anyway.
それでだんだん自分自身も状態が悪くなって、生活できなくなって、精神病院に入るようになったんですね。
So, long story, but I couldn't function very well in the society anyway, so ended up in what you call a loony bin.
いや、その頃は、日本は、あれ中はやっぱり精神病院行くとこなかったんですよ。
Well, to be honest, you know, in those days there is no nice rehabilitation center or anything like that, especially in Japan. The only place alcoholics was able to go is psychiatric order, ward and a mental hospital.
いや、ですからそういうところで、体を良くして、今度は一生懸命働こうと思って出てくるんだけど、ダメなんですよ、飲んじゃうから。
And then I was there, and, you know, fully rested, physically that is, and then get out, discharged. But, next thing I know, I'm always ended up back in there because I always ended up drinking.
それを6回繰り返しました。
So in and out for 7 times, well, 6 times to loony bin.
もう、その頃はやっぱり自分が人間がダメだから、こういうふうにだらしのない生活になっちゃったんだと思ってたんですよね。だけどやっぱりその後に A につながって、その人間が悪いんじゃなくて、その病気だから人間がだんだん弱くなるんだということを分かりました。
And I thought it was me personally, I was the bad guy, I thought. I seriously thought that. Maybe if I'm a good guy or if I'm, you know, different, maybe...I could have been doing something else, but I totally, totally didn't know about this disease concept, but AA taught me otherwise.
ですから、A につながってから、第一ステップを、やはりこう大事に、仲間のね、お話の中で、日本の A で、アメリカ人の神父さんが、日本語で AA をメッセージしてくれたんですよね。
That the first seed of AA was planted by this American missionary, a millionaire faith, by the name of Father Mini, the first time.
そういう形で、だんだん仲間の方たちのお話を聞いて、その同じようなね、状態になっているということが分かって、これがね、アメリカ人もそうなんですよね。で、今日はボブって言ったんですけど、ハワイの方にも行くようになって、ソーバーして、そしてハワイのリハビリ施設に行った時に、宿泊で、そこの人たちに、僕は山本慎一って言うんだけど、ボブのがいいとかって言われて、その時にもらったのが僕のニックネームです。
And then I realized that this disease does not discriminate any, you know, nationality or anything. And then, in my recovery, I had a chance to go to Hawaii there. And then I said my name is Yamamoto, but they said, that's not good. You should be Bob. So ever since I'm Bob.
Yeah, だから大事に、僕はちゃんとした日本人ですけど、ボブで十分です。
I'm a Japanese, but Bob is okay with me.
そういうことで、自分もですね、ステップで、正気に、飲まないで正気に、そして、自分の生き方をだんだん変えることができて、家族もみんな、元気になって、とても今はすごく幸せです。
I can tell this much that I'm really happy and content and I'm sober and I'm happy and my family is happy and I'm so grateful for this program.
神様の、プランの中に入ってよかったと思います。
I'm so glad that God didn't forget about me. I'm in His plan, God's plan, and for that I'm grateful. And that's all I can say. Thank you so much.
ありがとうございました。
Before we carry on, before we thank these speakers, I just want to say a thank you to this translator. Miyoko. Miyoko. You know, in my travels, we have translators, and we could not exist. There's many people in this room that have these on to listen in their language. And I want to thank everyone who's working with us and translating at this convention so we can all be the same. Thank you. We have a little time. I have a few other names. There's one lady I would like to call up. It's Marietta from Finland. Would you like to come? Yes, you. Unless there's another Marietta from Finland. And Anne, would you like to come share a few moments with us? Please? Yes? Thank you. I've met Mariette this week. Mariette is a past World Service Meeting delegate from Finland, and she's a very lovely lady. Let's give her a warm San Antonio welcome.
My name is Marietta. I'm an alcoholic. I am so, so happy and grateful to be here today and heard all these wonderful experiences to meet people everywhere from the world, and especially, which is the most important thing, I have felt the love of AA folks, and I have understood how important it's to me to be in service every day, not only when I was delegate or something like that, but to be service for someone who wants to be heard my experience. And that's why I want to thank those people who have been speaking of sponsorship, of service and gratitude, which I can show only by service. So, when I went first time to my group, it was told that just sit down so you can get better. And I have been sitting down, but then I realized that I could do something. So I started to clean the group room. And one guy came in and said, oh, good, now we have got a woman here. So we have got a cleaner of our own. And I said, thank you, but I am not for cleaning. I have come here to sober up, and I have did it. I have 33 years of wonderful years of surprise. Thank you.
Please welcome Anne M. She's from England and from York. Is that correct? You live in York? And she's also the general manager of their office there. So please help me welcome Anne.
My name is Anne, I'm an alcoholic. And gosh, I was at the front and I didn't realise there were so many of us. What can I say? I'm a woman of few words. But my gratitude is unbounding. It really is so huge in my life today. I'm a rebel. I'm a malcontent. I didn't like the word God. I still have problems with it. But you know, the greatest gift I'd ever been given is a higher power in Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't know about life. I didn't know I could live. I thought the most wonderful feeling I ever got was the feeling when I knew I could go to the shop and I could afford to buy another drink. I didn't need to drink it at that point. I just felt content that I had enough money in my pocket to go and buy some. And many times I've come out of that shop with a bottle and felt quite content going home. But then I've spoiled it because I've actually opened the bottle up and drank the drink. And I thought that was the epitome of my life. I thought I was fine. I thought there was nothing wrong with me. I could drink well. I didn't know that my life was in ruins. I didn't know that I was on a path to destruction. My denial was very, very deep. And then one day, I don't know where the thought came from, I picked the phone up and I phoned AA. And there was somebody at the end of the phone that spoke to me. And I was very polite. My parents had always brought me up to be extremely polite to anyone, really. I made no trouble. I was, as I say, I was a rebel. I was a subtle saboteur. But it all in here. And that remains sometimes, you know, that's, the program helps me with that. And I walked into my first meeting and the people were wonderful. I loved them, loved everybody. You know, I was told I was wanted, needed and loved. And this cynic believed them. But you know, I hadn't finished drinking. I went home and I drank. But I went back to AA. That's the only redeeming feature of that time of my life, that I went back to AA. I kept going back. But I kept drinking. And my drinking went underground. I told no one. And I don't know if anybody can identify the feeling, but that was the worst time of my life. When I was drinking and I wasn't telling anyone and I was attending AA meetings. I nearly died. I knew I was on a path to destruction then. And one day, something happened. I asked for help. First time in my life, I asked for help. And I happened to be in the best place in the world for that, for me. I happened to be in an AA meeting. And I got it. I got a sponsor that day. I got the fledgling thought of a higher power that day. I still don't use the word God easily. I use higher power, and it's my higher power, and I was given that. And that day I was given freedom. And you know, I fought all my life for freedom. You know, I've paraded with banners. As I say, I'm a rebel. You know. But I don't have to parade anymore because that freedom is within me. It was given to me by you people. And I have such a wonderful, wonderful feeling today. I woke up this morning just knowing that I have another 24 hours in which I'm going to feel comfortable. And I have, you know, feeling comfortable with me, the alcoholic, is part of the recovery that I've been given. And I always say at my home group is Darlington in the north of England. We have 17 meetings a week in a township that's quite small, really. And I often say at my home group, you know, that I could easily have missed all of this. Just like that. It could have passed me by. But for some reason, it didn't. Not up until today. And just for another 24 hours, I will have the company of you good people and this wonderful family of fellowship. And I am just so grateful. And thank you for listening.
Thank you again to Anne and Marietta. You know, we have a few minutes. Is there anyone here? Now, don't all of you come up. Is there anyone here who's traveled many miles outside of North America that would like to share? That hasn't? Yes. We have Hannah here from Holland.
Hello everybody, my name is Hannah, I'm alcoholic. Originally I came from Poland 23 years ago, but I didn't know who I am. Because when I came here, then always I saw then a stupid Polak. But today I don't know that I'm so stupid because I'm really 100% alcoholic. And I got the choice coming in here. This is the second my convention, first time I can went to Minneapolis. And I tell you something, I came here, came to AA, repair my marriage, but I repair myself. And I'm really grateful alcoholic because I have so big fellowship and I can speak few languages. And this 1 week ago on my way, stayed one woman from Russia. And it was my dream came to Moscow because I didn't speak Russian 25 years. But one day I got telephone from Krakow, from Poland, and somebody asked me for help because our friend who was supposed to be take this lady from JFK, from New York, from the airport, he couldn't because he was sick. Then I went to this airport myself and I tried. They sent me through internet the pictures, of course, Alcoholic Anonymous. Her name is Tatiana, maybe she's here, and she came to my home. I live in Linden, New Jersey. My home group is in Clark, Polish group. We have 7 groups in New Jersey in Polish language, but also I'm involved in American group. My group is in the Woodbridge morning, Saturday morning, Woodbridge group in New Jersey. Welcome, guys. So then I'm really glad that I'm here, and I'm proud. Then I'm alcoholic because I never ever had the choice travel all over the world. However, I speak 5 languages, but so many friends, only I came, I found here. And I'm so glad that I'm here in Texas. This is second time. First time I came to Dallas. It was exactly 1996 when I started my sobriety. But I couldn't be sober through next 3 months because in Dallas I found good friend with good booze, of course with the hat, and already I was cowboy Polish woman, you know, then amazing. I was so happy. Then I had big booze and big booze on the other side. So cowboy woman, then was my dream came to Texas. And I never ever think that I came here as a sober woman. Right now I have good sponsor, and I had few sponsors who already passed away. One sponsor is here, Katrina, she lives in Florida. The best woman who gave me inspiration here from this program. I'm sorry, my English is very simple, but I try the best how I can. So then I am really, I'm second time here, but really sober, and I live with three women in my room here in Texas, in San Antonio. And this lady gave me so big power, Ursula, Dorota from Poland, and Katrina from Florida. And every woman has the deep sobriety, and I never ever stick together with women because I drank with men. I was drinking like men more because I try to be the best Polish drinking woman. Of course, stupid who couldn't light bowl in the room and other side. But right now, I know who I am, and I'm not shy, and I'm not shy speak also in English because the anonymous alcoholics gave me the power to speak promptly English, because when I was drunk, I spoke few languages, believe me or not. I was so speaker the best with Russian, German, Italian, every language. It was also Japanese and meow, meow, meow with other languages. Right now, I try work as an interpreter with Polish and English language. Also, I start in Russian because I never ever thought that the women can come from GSO, from Moscow, here to convention. And she stopped in my home, and we spent whole week. Every morning we spoke Russian and we read the book, big book. We read the 24 hours. And this was amazing. I never ever think that I can meet the people. Then second, my dream is fly to Finland. Thank you very much. Thank you for your listening.
Well, thank you, everyone. You know, I was thinking as I was looking out in this room, can we just do a little poll? Let's do a little poll. How many people are here today from Canada? How many people are here today from the United States of America? And how many people are attending here today from other countries other than that? Thank you. Thank you. You know, it's an amazing thing because, you know, when our co-founder, Bill W., you know, in the beginning, he thought about building beachheads of Alcoholics Anonymous around the world. And when he did start to travel, you know, I don't think that if Bill was sitting in the room today, he could have envisioned what would have happened and what has happened. And I feel so privileged because you think that, you know, this is put on by our Alcoholics Anonymous, yours and mine. And we each have a job to do. And I hope that when you're going home from this weekend, that each of you takes home in your hearts some fine memory, some beautiful moment that you experienced with somebody else from some other AA group from somewhere else, and that you in turn have done the same for them. And I always feel that being on the board of Alcoholics Anonymous is not my privilege. It's the privilege that you have given me to do. And each time I travel to any country and I visit any AA group or any AA facility, I always feel that when I have the opportunity to give someone a hug or shake their hand, I'm doing so with you. You are always with me. So I want to thank you for your attendance this weekend and for all the support that you've given us. And San Antonio, thank you again for putting on such a big party. And I hope that everyone is having a good time and that you're all going to be at the Alamo Dome tonight. Now, please, I would like us all to thank all our speakers that spoke today. Thank you. Now, in closing, I think that I would like to ask, which is it? I'd like to ask this young lady right here. Would you please come up? And I'd like you to lead us. Can we please join hands and close with the Serenity Prayer? And we're going to be led by this young lady.
Hi, I'm Ruth. I'm an alcoholic. I'm here from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And let's have a moment of silence and then close together with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things that cannot change, courage to change the things that can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Just for today. Thank you.